Good morning, everybody. Good to see you here today. Glad you could be here at New Life Christian Church. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
You're right. Because if you aren't glad to be here, I'm teasing. Of course I'm teasing you. I'm so glad that you're here. And if this happens to be your first time with us, I hope I get a chance to meet you before you go home today. And I hope you'll come back and do this all over again. I think today is going to help you with some of those decisions. But hey, before we get into the Word of God today, I'd like to invite my friend Aaron Bass to come on up here to the front. Aaron works for an organization called Christian Financial Resources, and we partnered as a church with this organization several years ago as we began to move down to this path of getting a second campus built. And I've invited him here today to tell you, take a minute or two to tell you a little bit about what CFR does and how they partner with churches and families. And so, Aaron, I'm just going to turn it over to you, okay?
Yeah, glad to be here. I want to say thanks already to the CFR investors that I've seen this morning, the familiar faces. Who make it feel right at home. So thank you for that. If you're not familiar with CFR, for about 40 years, our ministry, which is in Florida, has helped churches, just like New Life, when you're trying to do a building project or buy a new building for you to continue to reach people for Jesus. We do it all over the country, but we're also doing it here in Arkansas. As a matter of fact, 3 weeks ago, I was in Searcy, just north of Little Rock, speaking to a church there. It was their one-year anniversary of opening up their brand new building, and I was telling them about you and New Life and the new campus that you guys were getting ready to open up. They're excited for you. They're praying for you, and we're really looking forward to the opening of that new building. And so I'd love to encourage you and challenge you to consider, what are the churches that when you invest at CFR that you are going to be able to pray for and encourage? I'll give you an example. We have a church in California right now that's getting ready to, their goal that by 2030, they want to plant 30 new churches and reach 30,000 new people for Jesus. A great goal, but they're going to need some help, and they're going to need some help from us to buy buildings and have these people come and meet together. Just like you guys do. And so I'd encourage you to partner with us. We've got some great accounts. If you have like an emergency fund, we have an account that pays 3%. You can connect it to your bank, move money back and forth whenever you want. We have a great promo right now, a 15-month certificate that pays 5%. And so there's just a lot of ways that you can partner with us. We have some giving funds that can help you be a little bit more tax efficient in your giving. And so either way, I'd love to meet you. Thanks for making me feel at home, Pastor Joe. If you have any questions, come find me out in the lobby.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate you being here. And I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I like it when kingdom dollars goes to kingdom work. You know what I mean? And so that's a great thing that they're involved with. And, you know, and like I said, if you've got some savings and things, like I'm not doing anything with it right now, that can go to work for the kingdom, and that can reach people for Jesus. And maybe you never thought about that like that before, but Aaron can give you all the information about how to put that money to work for the Lord. I appreciate him being here. Well, I'll tell you, it's been a couple of great weeks here at the church, hasn't it? I mean, we had Easter 2 weeks ago and 6 services over a couple days. And then we had Creation Weekend last week. How many of you got to hear at least one talk from the Creation Weekend guys? Man, I hope that just blessed your life and enriched it. I want to tell you that we recorded, I believe, between the 3 speakers that came from Friday night all the way to Sunday night with our youth event, I believe they gave a total of 16 individual talks. And it would have been impossible for you to catch every one of those, just the way the schedule was, but we recorded every one of them. And so we're going to, over time, make those available on our website so that they can continue to, that ministry can continue to serve and bless our church over time. We're going to make those available. Just takes time to get all that stuff ready. But I'm glad you are participating with that. I also want to tell you this. Next weekend, I am starting a brand new series that I am just so excited about. I want to tell you about it here. The series is called POV. And some of you are probably going, POV. What? POV. What is that? Let me do a little test here. Before I named this series, I went around the church and I talked to some of our younger kids from the teenage variety. And I asked them, I said, hey, if I were to say POV, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And every last one of them said, point of view. That's what POV means. I said, okay, all right, point of view. So then I did a little experiment. I went around and asked some others in our church who were not of the teenage variety. Had a few more years of experience under their belt. Some of them had a little bit of gray hair on their head. And I said, POV, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And you know what their answer was, most of them? privately owned vehicle. There you go. That's somebody that's lived some life right there, privately owned vehicle. I love the variety in our church, let me tell you. Now, when I say POV, what I mean is point of view. That's what I mean. And this whole series is going to be about seeing things from God's point of view. Seeing things from God's point of view. Now, let me tell you where the idea for this series was born. You might recall we spent a long time, 24 weeks to be exact, in the book of Exodus. And you might remember there were a number of times through that series where I kept saying things that just kept coming up in the text. This is how God sees it. This is how God sees them. This was God's point of view. I don't know if you remember some of that stuff. And frustrated is not the right word, but I found myself going, I'd love to dive into that more, but I just don't have the time to do it in this context in Exodus. And so then it just hit me one day, do a whole series on God's point of view. And it made a lot of sense. I'm like, yes, because as you go through the pages of the Bible, there are many, many places where it actually just flat out tells you, this is how God sees things. This is God's point of view on this particular subject. And I'm gonna challenge you with the same thing I did during the Exodus series. If God has a point of view on a particular thing, don't you think that that should be our point of view too? Absolutely. So I'm going to spend about 6 weeks unpacking some of these passages in the Bible, some of these stories, some of these things that clearly shows us this is how God sees that. Man, if God sees it that way, I want to see it that way as well. So that starts next week, and I hope you'll come back, and I hope you'll bring some friends. Today, though, I just want to share some stuff with you as your pastor. I've got some things on my heart, some really good things that I want to share with you. Good things related to where our church is heading, currently where we are and how things are going to unfold, and just some stuff coming up, especially related to this multi-site adventure that we're on and this campus that we're building. You might call today's sermon an in-betweener, all right? So we had a great Easter and great creation weekend. Next weekend, we are starting what I think is going to be an incredible new series together. But we have this in-betweener Sunday here, and that's on purpose, by the way, because I just got some stuff I want to share with you, some stuff that you need to know and update, just some stuff on my heart that I, as your pastor, need to share with the New Life family. And the first thing that I want to share with you is this. I couldn't be more pleased about the progress that's happening out on our new campus, and I couldn't be more excited about the evangelistic opportunities that are coming our way. I'm just telling you, it is really something. I'll show you a couple quick videos that are going to play behind me. Work out there on the second campus is absolutely moving at lightning pace. This was last week. It's pretty obvious what these guys are doing. They're pouring concrete outside in front of the building. And this work is all done, by the way. If you go out there and all this whole front patio is already poured and it's done, and it's just happening at a lightning pace. Question for you: how many of you, at any point since we scooped the first bucket of dirt out there, how many of you have just gotten in your car one day and said, "I'm going to drive out there just because I'm curious and I want to see what's going on"? Yeah, a lot of you. That's good. I'd be nervous if there weren't any hands that went up. It's like, aren't you excited about? I'm excited. But as you can see, they're getting this work done, and that building is going up really fast. That pink tower is pretty much, you know, that's already got a beautiful rock structure going up it right now. So that's even changed since this video was taken. But I'll tell you, it is just really coming together. Now, I don't want to make the assumption by standing up here and assuming that everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, you got more buildings than this one? What? I don't know. And so if you're new with us, you may not be aware. Let me just really quickly say this to you. A few years back, our church began to grow quite rapidly, and it became very obvious to all of us that something's going to have to change. If we stay on this trajectory, it has a ceiling, and we want to keep reaching people for Christ. We want things to continue to grow. And so we prayed and prayed and really felt like it was during that season a number of years ago that God put on our hearts that our future is going to be on a multi-site path. And what that means is we're going to be one church always. The DNA is going to be the same no matter where you're at, but we're going to meet in multiple locations. And not long after that, God gave us 15 acres of ground out on the west side of Bella Vista, where a lot of you live, and it's right off the new bypass that they built. And if you don't know exactly where that is, or you're not, you know, it's not registering in your mind, where is that? If you were to go down to Lowe's and hop on the bypass and head up towards Gravette, you know, heading north towards Missouri, if you get off on the very last exit that you can get off of in Arkansas, that's us. Our property sits right off that off-ramp. And if you pass that exit, you have to turn around in Missouri. All right, you're gonna have to turn around. That's where it's at. And we just feel so blessed by God to have that piece of property and what's happening out there. We began construction last summer. And I'm happy to tell you that everything is pointing towards this conclusion. It looks like this building is going to be completely finished and done at the end of July. All right, that's our timeline right now. Maybe early August, right at the end there. And of course, when it is and it opens, it should relieve some of the pressures that we're facing right now with parking and seating and just expanding, you know, kind of busting out of the seams in a lot of areas of our ministry, not just what happens here on Sunday morning. But I can tell you confidently that we never, ever started a project like this because we were trying to create more seats and parking. That's going to be a great benefit. But if we were just trying to do that, then we'd just start having worship services every day and just keep going over and over. That's, you know. But I can tell you very confidently that the only reason we are advancing this is because God directed us to, and we're excited about the evangelistic and the disciple-making opportunities that are going to come, and quite frankly, are already landing at our feet right now because of what's happening out there, and we couldn't be more excited about it. I want to tell you something that many of you have asked me about. I get asked this, I would say at least three or four times every weekend. When is that going to open? Well, I told you when we think it's going to be done. I can tell you confidently today, of course, this is all subject to change, but it's more clear as we move forward. We really believe that our opening Sunday out there is going to be September 17th. September 17th. So those of you that have already, like, I live out there, that's where I'm going to be, circle September 17th. We're going to tell you a whole lot more between now and then about that. But I'm confident and happy to tell you that's when it's going to be, most likely. I'm also happy to tell you something that you don't know. This will be new information for just about everybody in here. And that's this. Starting today, you're going to notice a change in verbiage here at the church. Starting today, we're no longer going to be referring to this as the West Campus. Now, we've known for we've known almost since the day we started this whole thing that the permanent name was not going to be the West Campus. The reason we call it the West Campus is because when we bought the ground and put up the sign, we had no other name for it. It is west of us. It's not super creative. So we're going west, and so we built this theme around west, but we always knew that wasn't going to be the permanent name because, let's be honest, we don't know what the future looks like, and what is west right now may not be west 20 years from now. There's probably going to be stuff keep growing. We don't know, but we always knew it was going to be something else. So from this point forward, we want you to know that as we branch out a multi-site, we have to distinguish these campuses from one another. You know, it's like, where do you go to church? New Life. No, which one? That is what would. So from this point forward, I want you to know what we've known for many, many months. It's going to be called New Life's Highlands Campus. New Life's Highlands Campus. And that's really not a big shocker, is it? Because that side of Bella Vista is already referred to as what? Oh, that's the Highlands. It's a general term. And as you're coming north on the highway, what do all the signs say? Exit now for the Highlands Boulevard exit. So God's given us a little bit of locational recognition right there. So Highlands Campus. It's the New Life Highlands Campus. Now, what do we call this place? Because, you know, this is also New Life Christian Church. And here we are. You're sitting in a location that God has been using now for nearly five decades of ministry. And as far as we're concerned, we're going to keep doing ministry right here until Jesus comes back. So what we're having here, I mean, God never said move off this place. We are so excited about what God is going to do right here as well. One church, multiple locations, same DNA throughout the whole thing, but we've got to somehow designate this differently than the Highlands Campus. So This is what we're going to call this campus. Hold your breath. Get ready for the name of the century. You ready? This is New Life's Reardon campus. All right. This is New Life's Reardon campus. Why in the world we call it Reardon? Because that's Reardon Road right there. So from this point forward, and we're going to slip up. You're going to hear me say Weston, but we're going to start working that out of our verbiage. So it's New Life's Highlands campus, New Life's Reardon campus, and we're really excited about it. Now, here's what I'd like to ask all of you to do. If you call New Life your home, I'm going to ask our entire church family to start aligning and shaping our prayers around two very specific things. Now, I want you to pray about a lot of things, and a lot of you do pray, but specifically about what's happening right now in this season with some of these transitions, I'd like to ask you to pray about two things specifically. And the first thing is this. I want you to pray that in West Bella Vista, Centerton, Gravett, Southern Missouri, and anywhere and everywhere in between and beyond, that a new kind of excitement would begin to generate and grow in that area about what the Lord is doing through our church family. I believe that energy and excitement about these kind of things are God-driven more than people-driven. I believe God uses us to build an excitement about what he's got going on. So I'd like for you guys to start praying about that daily. Pray that God would generate some anticipation, some excitement. As people drive past that building, thousands of people every day, they're like, something's happening. Somehow, I think I may want to be a part of that. Excitement. Second thing I'd like for you to pray for is this, that God will be calling, opening and preparing hearts and minds of those to hear the good news of Jesus Christ through this new thing that the Lord's doing out there. That circumstances happen, that situational things that would just prepare and plow the field, if you will, for the good seed to be planted of Jesus there. So excitement and revival, these are the things that we're asking the church to pray for. And so if we could align around that, if you could align your life groups around that, align your daily prayer times around that, and be praying excitement and revival to come, and I believe God absolutely is doing that and will continue to do that in an increasing measure. So can we pray about those things right now? Can we just start putting this stuff before the Lord? I'd like to ask you all to join me in prayer right now. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are amazed at you and what you're doing. And we just pray right now, God, that even right now when the building's not done and there's just a lot of talk about it and activity, but Lord, I pray that you'll take those things and build a great excitement in this area about what you are doing. That Lord, I specifically pray that as people drive up and down the highway and they pass and they see what's happening, that you will trigger something in them. Call them, if you will. Remind them of a childhood faith. Remind them of what used to be important to them. Spark their interest, God, I pray. That, Lord, that a new thing would develop in that area. The revival would break out in our community in such a way, God, that there'd be so many people coming to faith in your son, Jesus Christ, and turning from their old ways and looking to you in a brand new way, Lord, that it would absolutely change the landscape of our community. That Lord, I just pray for these things. We do collectively together in one mind and spirit, God, about what you are up to and what you are doing and what we feel so privileged to be included in. So Lord, we pray for these things. We pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, these are exciting times here at New Life, and I don't say this flippantly. It's not a cliche for me, but I truly believe the best days of this church family are still out in front of us. And I've got a few Bible verses that I just want to share with you today that are resonating with me in a powerful way. And that's not to say that these are unfamiliar verses to me and that they haven't resonated with me in the past. But you know, when you read God's word, there you could read the same thing 100 times, but depending on what you're going through, they just hit you different. They impact you and they resonate with you in a new way. I would say these verses are doing that for me. And this is just some of this stuff that's just been building. I just want to share with you from my heart to you as our church family about what we've been going through and what's on the horizon. And what I want to share with you is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And let's just read it together. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." I want to read that one more time, because the implications on if you actually believe this and follow this are huge for your life. They've been huge for our church. What's it say? "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." The book of Proverbs, where these verses are located, is often referred to in the Bible as wisdom literature. They were written by King Solomon. King Solomon was King David's son. And King Solomon, you might remember a little bit about his story. God appeared to him in a dream and said, "I'll give you whatever you want." Can you imagine being offered that? "Whatever you want, I'll give to you." Do you remember what he asked for? Wisdom. And God was so pleased that he would ask for wisdom and not for riches and glory and military might and expansion of territory. God said, "I'm gonna give you all this wisdom, and I'm gonna give you all these things that you didn't ask for as well." He became as the wisest man to ever live. It was that guy, inspired by God to write these words: "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." What does that mean, to trust in the Lord with all of your heart? I would imagine that if you come to church here, you're going to hear the word trust a lot. But what does that mean, to trust? I mean, is there anything else that can help define what it means to trust? I can tell you, to trust the Lord with all of your heart has something to do with your confidence and has something to do with your hope. So it's like saying, okay, I'm gonna set all of my hope and all of my confidence in the Lord. That's what it means to trust. To trust him. Trust the Lord with all your heart means my confidence and my hope is in him. That's how I would describe trust. I would illustrate it this way. You don't have to come to church here very long to find out that I am a diehard Kansas City Chiefs fan, all right? It's not a secret, is it? I don't hide that from you. There is something that real Kansas City Chiefs fans have come to realize over the last 5 football seasons, and it is this: that it doesn't matter how much time is on the clock, and it doesn't matter what the scoreboard happens to say. It doesn't really matter that much where the football is on the football field. We just don't really worry about it. Now, do you know why Kansas City Chiefs fans just have stopped worrying about those things now? I can tell you why. We don't worry about it because we have Patrick Mahomes as our quarterback, all right? That's why we don't worry about it. So everybody clapping knows exactly what it's like. Oliver's like, "You've never said amen in church." Like, amen. That's exactly right. That might have been your first amen today. But when it comes to the game of football for Kansas City Chiefs fan, I could say it like this, and you might think, where is he going? Believe me, I'm gonna tie this back in. We trust in Patrick Mahomes to find a way to win this game. We just trust him. All of our hope is that he'll bring us the win. All of our confidence is in him, that he's gonna bring us a win. So we have a high level of trust in what our quarterback is able to do. So we'd say we trust Patrick Mahomes with the ball. But have you ever rooted for a team that you didn't trust the quarterback? I mean, just hypothetically, let's say Dallas Cowboys. No, I'm joking. I like the Cowboys, I'm teasing you. I like Dak Prescott, I'm teasing. I'll make it generic. How do you feel when you find out they're starting the third string quarterback? Let's say the third string quarterback comes in to play. What happens to your high level of trust in that moment? Well, it usually fades, doesn't it? I mean, your confidence in the third string quarterback just gets very shaky. In other words, what you're really saying, and if you listen to commentators and other people about it, they usually don't trust that the third string quarterback is going to come in here and deliver. Trust is a big time word. And it has to deal with everything that you believe about hope and all the confidence that you believe about what can be and what should be. So when we say, I trust in God with all of my heart, what you're saying is, I believe what the Bible says is true, that I believe that when Jesus said, I am going away to prepare a place for you, and if it wasn't that way, I would have told you, I am going to come back and take you to be with me where I am. And so what do? We say, I trust my Lord. I trust those words. All of my hope that what Jesus said is going to come true, all my confidence in what I've seen him do will follow through, and I will be in heaven one day. I trust in the Lord. That's what it means. Fellas, if you were to drive a brand new truck off of the lot tomorrow and it's sitting in your driveway, how good do you feel about tossing the keys of that brand new truck to just anybody? We don't do that. You know why we don't do that? Because we don't trust just anybody with this brand new truck. Because you don't have the hope or the confidence that they're not gonna mess it up. Moms and dads, you don't let just anybody watch your children, do you? Only those that you have all the hope and confidence in, those that you trust, would you ever allow to watch your own flesh and blood. Trust is a really, really big time deal. It's a big time word, and it means a whole lot about who you are as a Christian. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And I think everybody in here would say, that is a really good thing to do. That's a good thing to do, and I agree with that. That's what we are supposed to do. But there is a tendency to trust God and follow his guidance so long as that also agrees with our logic and our inclinations. It's not hard to trust the Lord when trusting the Lord lines up perfectly with how you see everything. But how easy is it to trust God with all of your heart when what he wants you to do doesn't agree with human logic and it's absolutely counterintuitive to how the rest of the world thinks about things? Or perhaps trusting the Lord with all your heart actually is going to put you in some very uncomfortable positions. How well do you trust the God? Trust God then? It's easy when everything lines up. What does it say next? What's the very next part of this verse? It says, and do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So in other words, as Christians who trust the Lord, we must lean on or find support in what God is doing, and we have to gravitate towards that, and we have to resist the temptation to go, God, you don't know what you're doing, you don't understand what I'm going through, and I'm gonna go do it my way. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on how you see things and what makes you comfortable. And do you know why it's so important for us to not lean on our own understanding? You know why that's important? Because we are not infallible. And our conclusions can waver. Our conclusions can be very uncertain. Our point of view is not always right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Now I want to be very clear about something. When you choose to follow Christ with all of your heart, when you become a Christian, that does not mean that you switch off your brain and you no longer have common sense. It's not at all what this is saying. If you took anything away from our creation weekend last weekend, I hope you know that we are absolutely supposed to engage our critical thinking and our scientific minds. That is a good thing. God gave us brains and we're supposed to use them. But if trusting God in your life is always based solely upon what you think is best and only is based on what you think is right for you in that particular moment, then I'm gonna lean in on what I think is best and what I should do. If that is your pattern of being a Christian, I trust the Lord with all my heart, but I'm gonna do what I think is best right now, then let me tell you what you're gonna miss out on. You are gonna miss out on God's will for your life. And you're gonna miss out on these God-level lessons that he's putting at your feet to prepare you for the next thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Back in early 2020, the decision here at New Life, where we were back then, is we had already set on this multi-site path, and the Lord had already provided this great land out there by the new bypass. It was already paid for and everything. As the leaders here at New Life, we were getting ready to, and we were setting in motion all the things necessary to design and build what would be the Highlands campus. And we were right about to sign the dotted line, if you will, that would set our future course down a path that, if you've ever done anything like this, you know there's critical points in any decision you gotta make to move you down the road. And we were literally right about to do that, and what happened in March of 2020? The whole world went nuts, didn't it? We remember it very well. COVID changed everything. Now, I think we all say we all know a whole lot more today than we did a couple years ago. But it was a great season of uncertainty, wasn't it? The whole world became uncertain about a whole number of things. And it was in that moment we were faced with a very critical decision. With all the uncertainties and all the unknowns at the time, should we not move forward? I mean, should we pull back from moving forward? Should we press pause on all this activity, or should we just forge ahead? That was like the big decision at the time. And I'll tell you, I certainly don't mind bragging on our elders, and you should be very proud of the leaders of this church that's had for many, many years. They had to make a tough decision in a very uncertain time. And conventional wisdom would have said this: this is not the right time to do anything like that. Look at the world. You don't even know what's gonna be going on 6 months from now. How can you commit to a course of action? Don't financially commit to something this big when you don't even know what's gonna take place here in the next few months. And conventional wisdom, earthly wisdom, said do that. So our elders, what they did is they took an entire month. They said, we're just gonna go pray, and we're gonna put this before God, and we're gonna lay this bare before the Lord and see what he tells us to do. 1 month later, we all got back together. I think that meeting that night around that conference table was one of the most influential, pivotal moments in the life of our church family. To the man, they said, I've been praying for a month. And to the man, there was 100% a unity. God is not telling us to stop. We've seen God do too much, open too many doors, provide more than we need to get us to this point, and not even COVID is telling us that we should not move forward and trust the Lord. And just like that, the decision was made. We are gonna forge ahead, and we're gonna trust the Lord. I'll tell you, it's one of those incredible moments where the leaders of this church said, we are not gonna lean on our own understanding. We're gonna trust the Lord with all of our heart, and we're gonna trust him to provide, and we're gonna move forward. I still remember, I think about that night often. I can't tell you how thankful I am and how blessed we all are as a church family that they chose to lean into what God was doing and not lean on and depend on conventional earthly wisdom in that moment. Had they done that, I am convinced that today we would still be the owners of a great piece of property out on the west side of Bella Vista that would not have had one bucket of dirt moved off of it. I'm convinced of it. It's just one of the many reasons why these verses resonate with me very strongly today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. What's the very next part say? And in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. One of the biggest things that God calls us to do is to bring glory to him. And I don't know if you know that or not, and I'm happy to be the one to tell you. But one of the biggest things that God calls each of us to do is to bring glory to him. So whatever you do, you find a way to give God the credit in all your ways. That is very broad. In all your ways, whatever you do, give him acknowledgement. The Lord is up to this. Essentially, God, I believe, wants us to recognize that all that's in our lives should all come back and point to him. He's doing something. Now, I'm personally one that takes this proverb from the wisest man who ever lived, who was inspired by God to write it. I take this verse pretty stinking literally. And I try to give God the acknowledgments in everything. I try to reflect any earthly praise right back to what God is doing. And I think we all should be in that mindset. Whatever is happening here, we need to point it to him. And like, there's nothing more to do except give him acknowledgement that our work, our effort is for him. And I wonder, is that how you're understanding these verses? Is that how you understand God's calling on your life and what he wants for you? Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians. He was teaching the church there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. He says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, again, whatever it is you do, do it all for the glory of God. How do you do it? How do you shape everything you do to point back to him and give him the acknowledgement for it? I don't know how you do it, but I can tell you what I try to find myself doing. I try to find myself giving God credit for just about everything and acknowledge him. And here's how it looks like in my life. And you're probably gonna think weird of me after I tell you this. But I do tend to pray a lot during the day. I tend to have an ongoing, never-ending conversation with God throughout the day. So I might be driving and I might be late. And I might say, God, I could sure use some green lights right now. Do you ever pray this way? And then you hit these green lights. I don't know if God did it or not, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because I'm saying, thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for the green lights. I needed it. Thank you, Lord. I give you credit for it. Acknowledge him. You ever sit down at a restaurant and they bring that piping hot, steamy tray of fajitas? You're staring at it like Pavlov's dog. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making the cow who provided the meat and the guy that seasoned and cooked it. Put it in front of me. You did it. Just kind of joking around with you, but in all seriousness, do you acknowledge what God is doing? Not just the good things, but in the very hard things. God, I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to give you glory. I trust you. Help me, Lord, not lean into what I think is right. Lean into what you are doing. It's all you. I believe that's what the Solomon is writing here. Give it to him. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. There's a lot of ways to turn that earthly praise back to God. There's a lot of ways to turn everyday things, good things and hard things, back to God, give him acknowledgement and credit. But I think there's a question, like, how do you keep that going day after day after day? How do you find yourself in a daily walk of acknowledgement of God's goodness? How do you do that? Well, I can tell you what makes sense to me is that when you daily contemplate just how completely God has forgiven you, then it's a whole lot easier to turn things back to him. When you contemplate every day just how completely that God has forgiven you, you find out that you're in a better position to turn that acknowledgement and praise back to him. You see it more clearly in everyday things, just how much God loves you, cares for you, and how you want to turn back praise to him. It says in Psalm 103 verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You think about that every day. It's easy to start pointing back to him. I'm walking around as a saved and sanctified person because of what the Lord has done for me. All of my hope, all of my confidence is in what he did for me. And I trust him. I'm gonna do it his way. I'm gonna see things from his point of view. I'm gonna acknowledge him in everything. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You walk around every day acknowledging and believing and knowing that, you're going to turn a lot of praise back to your Heavenly Father in everything. So there's an order about things as a Christian. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. All of your hope, all your confidence is in Him. Lean not on your own understanding. Being a Christian doesn't mean you switch off your brain or you lack any common sense. No, it's not even what it's talking about. But it's saying, God, you have a point of view on things and you have a way of shaping things, and I just want to lean into what you're doing, and I'm okay with it not making sense all the time in what I'm doing. I'm not going to lean in conventional wisdom. I'm going to lean into God's wisdom. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Turn all the glory back to Him. Figure out a way to acknowledge Him in everything. And then what is the last thing? And He will make your path straight. I take this as a cumulative wisdom. Trust Him. Lean into what He's doing. Acknowledge Him. And if you and I will walk around every day with that fresh in our minds, this is going to be the net result of that behavior and action. He will make your path straight. He will absolutely move you down the right direction you are supposed to go. That's the way God works. I take this as a promise. Trust Him. Lean into what He's doing, His point of view. Acknowledge Him in everything, and He'll set you down the course that you're supposed to go on. Friends, it is a formula that works. We are the ones who mess it up. It works. I've been asked a lot of times, why is New Life Christian Church having the success it's having? My answer is a simple one. God's doing it all. But there has been a long history of some very strong leaders throughout this church who have said, we're going to trust God no matter what. We're going to hold His word up high, and we're going to follow Him. And there's going to be times in the life of this church that it's not going to make sense to go down this road, but we believe God's going to lead us this way, and we're going to acknowledge and lean on Him. So we're going to trust Him, and they're going to lean on Him. And in all of it, we're going to acknowledge Him. You know why we want our worships to be so God-focused and amazing? Because this is our way of expressing worship and acknowledgement to the great things He has done. And I believe that all of that has pointed this church family, we're not perfect by any means, but God has pointed us down this path that we're on, and we believe, we can say confidently, we feel it's God-led, God-blessed, Holy Spirit-driven kind of path, so we can speak very confidently about what we believe God will do with it all. We're all a work in progress, you all know that, but we believe there's a formula to things in life. Trust Him. Lean into Him, acknowledge Him, and He'll absolutely set you down the course you're to be on. Let me pray for you. Lord, we just give You praise and thank You for loving us in spite of us a lot of times. Lord, we're so just enamored by the fact that You would send Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for us. That, Lord, He not only died on the cross for us, but 3 days later, He came out of that tomb alive and is alive today. And Lord, we know that Your promises are that He's going to come back and get us. And in the meantime, You have given us Your Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us. Lord, we know that You are with us every step of the way. So Lord, we acknowledge You and praise You because You are right here with us now. So Lord, I pray as a church family, I pray that there will never be a day that we don't trust You with all of our heart. That there would never be a day when we don't look to You for Your point of view and Your wisdom and lean into that. That, Lord, I pray there would never be a day that we don't stop and acknowledge You for everything and give You glory. And, Lord, we pray that there would never be a day that You're not directing our path. So, Lord, we surrender and submit all of this to You. We pray for Your help in all these things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.